Well, thank you all for showing up. I'm going to talk a little bit about a project that we are doing in San Diego using marketing data and linking that to our health outcomes at a community or neighborhood level. San Diego, for those of you who don't know, we're in the southwest corner of the U.S., where it's currently actually colder now there than it is here. I am not looking forward to going home. We're the fifth largest county in the United States. If we were a state, we would be the 29th largest state. 4,200 square miles. We have 18 major cities. And for administrative purposes, we divide our county into 6 regions with 41 sub-regional areas that are aggregations of census tracts, which means that I can get a lot of data on demographics and everything at a community level. We have 3.2 million residents. Most of them live along the coast, Pacific Ocean. However, we do have wilderness, remote. We got record snowfall last night in our mountains, and we have desert. You guys have seen like Death Valley type desert also in our community. In July of 2010, our Board of Supervisors launched a very audacious initiative called Live Well San Diego, because like every other county and place in the United States, we were facing increasing levels of chronic disease in our adult and our child populations. This initiative looks at raising the health and well-being of the entire county, all 3.2 million people. There are 3 major components: building better health, living safely, and thriving. I'm going to focus on the building better health aspect, and for that, we really took the lead from the 3-4-50 campaign, if any of you are familiar with that. There are 3 behaviors: physical activity, diet, tobacco use, that result in 4 diseases: cancer, heart disease and stroke, type 2 diabetes, and lung disease, that result in over 50% of deaths, not only in San Diego, worldwide, and actually internationally. These are unique because they're preventable through behavior change, behavior modification. In San Diego County, we actually have 54% of our deaths due to these 4 chronic diseases. When we look at our behaviors of our population, for diet, in 2011, about 20% of county residents ate fast food 3 or more times a week. 53% of adults ate fewer than 5 servings of fruits or vegetables daily. For physical activity, about 12% of San Diegan adults were sedentary or performed no physical activity. These were self-reports. And for tobacco use, about 13% of our adults were current smokers. Now, as an epidemiologist, I know a heck of a lot more about our disease outcomes than I do our behaviors. I can tell you what our rate of death, hospitalization, emergency department discharge is for coronary heart disease, one of the 3-4-50s. I can tell you what the prevalence is. But what I can't tell you is a lot of current detail on how our population is eating, exercising, and their tobacco consumption. I can give you some large-scale numbers that are countywide or even one of our 6 regions, but not down to our individual community levels. So our challenge was really, how do we develop that community-level health behavior profile? The prevalence of chronic disease varies widely by community. I can tell you the prevalence within my communities. Red is bad, green is good. Our statewide health survey is limited. It doesn't ask the same questions every year. So I can't track, actually it's only done every 2 years, I can't track changes in behavior in our population and tie those to changes in our health outcomes. So I needed to find a different source of information on how people behave and why. We figured if it was good enough for McDonald's, it was good enough for us. So we bought market research data. Okay, market potential estimates the demand for goods and services. This is what the people who are trying to sell you everything use when to determine where to site a restaurant, where to do target information campaigns, or basically marketing ads. It's derived from consumer spending or use surveys. It's at the census tract level. And remember, my 41 communities aggregate from census tracts. The metric is easy. It's the proportion of adults in the population who. We have a number of market potential databases, and we actually purchased this through ESRI. If any of you do GIS mapping, you're probably familiar with ESRI. Cost me $1,300. Yeah, wow. And just a sliver of the market potential databases are listed on your left. And you can't see it well, but it's automotive, baby products, civic activities, clothing, electronics, financial and insurance market potential. By the way, they do have long-term care insurance for those of you who are dealing with Alzheimer's. Two of the ones that we looked at for this was the grocery and alcoholic beverage market potential. If any of you are struggling with substance abuse, alcohol, this is an excellent source of behavioral data. I mean, how many glasses of wine, what type of wine, how many beers, you know, those kinds of questions are so much better than the health survey report that just asks you, have you ever engaged in binge drinking? Like, you know, who's going to answer that? From these different databases, each of these is a different market potential database, we selected variables including the percent of adults who try to eat healthy and healthy with a focus on nutrition, who are presently controlling their diet, who are using diet control to maintain weight, who are using diet control for physical fitness, who are using diet control for weight loss, who use an exercise program for a diet method, who buy food specifically labeled as fat-free or high-fiber or high-protein or lactose-free or low-calorie, low-carb, low-cholesterol, low-fat, low-sodium, natural organic, or sugar-free. Each one of those is a separate indicator. We also looked at the percentage of adults who spend 3 to 5 hours exercising a week, the percent of adults who exercise at home 2 or more times a week, and the percentage of adults who've smoked cigarettes in the last 12 months. What we're trying to do with this is basically develop an evidence basis about what people do, why they do it, and where they do it. Okay? This will enhance our public health programs that target our communities so that we can do that more effectively and thus lead to a reduction in the burden of chronic disease. The data that I'm going to show you is basically the percent of San Diego County adults by community. We did bivariate correlations with coronary heart disease death, hospitalization, and emergency department. The reason it's important to do that is coronary heart disease death is an indicator of what you did 20 years ago. Hospitalization is maybe what you did 10 years ago. ED is what you've been doing lately. That's going to start or initiate the beginning of your disease. When you look at the next slide, remember positive findings are black, negatives are red, and if they're shaded in blue, they have a statistical significance of 0.05 on the correlation. Remember, it's a correlation, it's not causation. So when we looked at the proportion of adults who went to fast food in the last 6 months and correlated that with coronary heart disease, by medical encounter, we found that 88% of adults went to fast food, and that 40% of adults went to fast food restaurant 9 or more times a month. Going to fast food 9 or more times a month was actually statistically correlated with coronary heart disease, ED discharge. Now, why would that be? If you think about it from a medical perspective, the first time you experience heart condition may actually be in an ED, and after that, you're going to be instructed to change your diet, modify your behaviors, things like that, because you've just been scared. So I expect a high correlation with people who have recently engaged in a lot of fast food or drive-through, which is a surrogate, of course, for high-fat, high-sodium. And it also showed us that these results were very similar to our health survey. So it confirmed that this is a very practical, usable tool that will provide us with the kind of information that we need. Okay, this table is impossible to read, but look for green. Green are the percentage of people who try to eat healthy. And we have all across the top there are the different kinds of questions that I talked about earlier. So you'll see a lot of correlation with green and with positive health outcomes, and a lot of negative correlation with red and poorer health outcomes. And this is impossible, and if I do this for every year for the last 10 years, my executives just kind of stare at me and like, tell me what it means. I don't want to look at this. And tables and charts are just not doing it. But for your purposes, 36% of adults who control their diet are correlated with lower heart disease hospitalization rates. Diet control for physical fitness, weight loss, or use of exercise as a diet method was also associated with lower heart disease death rates. And diet control for blood sugar, cholesterol, salt restriction, and doctor's care for diet method had positive correlations with coronary heart disease death hospitalization. But that may be a disease process that's already, the diet changes have come after the disease process has begun. Because like I said, we're talking about later in your chronic disease stage development. So this should be a whole lot easier to read. This is that 10 years worth of data, and each ring represents a year. Each slice of the ring is one of my 41 communities. The map in the middle tells me my disease rate, and I'm sorry, tells me the proportion of people who are doing a particular behavior, and the rings represent the change in the disease rate, or vice versa. Just look at the presentation method, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But basically, in our coastal areas or in our central areas, we had lower death rates and a higher percentage of adults who diet for weight loss. In our rural and our eastern areas, where we have a remote population, we're looking at higher death rates correlated with less attempts to control diet. And then when you look at the bottom, north coastal and north central communities, the very top of that bottom band and the very bottom of that bottom band are geographically high north and south of that one area. The high and moderate death rates in the north and the south area communities have a lower proportion of people controlling diet. Oh, okay. In the communities more centrally, which are more green, have a higher percentage of people who are controlling their diet. Okay, whether they check ingredients, 6 out of 10 adults usually check ingredients. That's associated with lower medical encounters. Those who rarely check ingredients are associated with higher medical encounters. The neighborhood patterns actually really start speaking up. In the slide on the left, we've got by community. In the slide on the right, we actually have that information by census tract, which gives us a lot more detailed or nuanced look at the community. We found similar correlations in people who are looking at product labeling, exercise behaviors, same kinds of patterns, and again, all those blue are statistically significant correlations between exercise or lack thereof and our 3-4-50 disease rates, either collectively or individually. Same kinds of patterns, if you look at the rings, these are the same communities. Again, death, the chronic disease versus exercise, similar patterns. People who exercise more are more likely to have green, and people who exercise less are more likely to have red when it comes to disease. Smoking, again, 16% of our San Diegans smoked cigarettes in the past year, which is about 4% higher than what our community health survey was saying. We're more inclined to go with the 16% just because it is more recent data and because it is based on actual purchase. The spatial patterns across the community are similar to diet and exercise variables. And let's see, the smoking is positively correlated with disease, but only significantly correlated with coronary heart disease death. So basically what this does is it adds to the information that we have on health behaviors and choices. It gives us insight into how people will respond or do respond to different messaging, provides census-level track data for detailed analysis of our communities and our neighborhoods. It can help us focus on areas to do outreach or enhance public health messaging. We are able to create detailed health behavior profiles for each of these communities. It gives us a more in-depth spatial analysis of our health behaviors. We are continuing to explore our market potential. We're looking at grocery and alcohol purchasing, doctor's visits, medication usage, and we're also doing this for other chronic diseases. The limitations are, again, this is survey data, so there is a possibility of bias or error among those who are surveyed. There is possible autocorrelation with income. If you spend more on a particular high-cost item, you're more likely to have a higher income. And the association with near-term behaviors and existing medical outcome is just a correlation. It is not a causation. I do want to acknowledge this group of researchers in Taiwan who developed this ring map tool because it just makes it easier for me to explain this data to communities and to our execs. And if you would like more information on it, you can download a copy of the presentation or you can feel free to get in touch with me or with Isabel Corcus, who's our spatial epidemiologist. Thank you.